Lord, as we've sung the words to this song, especially struck by how it's a declaration of faith. This is what we believe. It's what we cling to. What we cling to. We have no other source of help but Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we turn our eyes to you now. As we open your word, we ask that you would speak. And open our ears, open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear. And that your word would take root in our hearts and lives and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Fruit that will last. And I pray, Lord, that the chaos and the troubles that exist in this world would be stilled for a time as our attention is focused on you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, we've started a new series of sermons asking the Lord to speak to us. And told you last week how I believe that God speaks into our lives and into this world in a variety of ways, but primarily through Holy Scripture. And so I wanted us this year to open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God and ask Him to speak to us about our lives, our families, our church, our community, and the times in which we live. And the goal is a kind of spiritual awakening in which we hear God speaking and then we respond with faith, with repentance, and with obedience. And so we're approaching God's word with great faith, but also in anticipation, asking Him to speak. And we want to know the proper way to respond when God does speak. And today, I want us to consider the topic of certainty. Look with me in Numbers chapter 23. Certainty. Been asked a few times this morning if I was going to say anything about the events related to the inauguration, the things of this weekend. I'll ask your pardon. I approach the news and our times from my perspective as a Christian, not as an American citizen. So you'll understand that I'm troubled by the events that I've seen, and I'm not as excited as some people are. I will also tell you that I'm not as hopeless as other people are either, because of my faith in God's presence. So I am going to tell you that I think a good word that describes the news, regardless of what day it is chaos and randomness. And these are terms that are used often to describe the realities we encounter in our world. Randomness is basically a mathematical or a statistical term to describe the fact that there can be a lack of pattern or predictability in some events. And we take that idea, that lack of pattern, that lack of certainty, and we apply it to various human realities, such as sociology or politics or medicine or whatever. And it describes this idea that in our world there can be this frightening lack of predictability, of certainty. And we find ourselves to be at the mercy of things that we frankly cannot control. And that is troubling. And so every one of us here, in one way or another, has had to live with this fact of chaos and randomness. How many people do you know of who have been victims of random acts of violence? Or how many people have suffered as a result of random market forces? And, you know, your savings were hit as a result of that? Or how many people do you know of who have suffered as a result of random mutations in cells in their body? We call that cancer. It's ravaged people we know. All of us have suffered from random choices which have affected our health over time. Some of those things were not random. I get that. But there were other things that were. You know, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. It just happened. And we realize that these things that affect our lives so deeply are beyond our control. They're beyond our ability to understand or explain. And we begin to wonder, is my life at the mercy of a series of random events? Is this world truly subject to chaos? What is certain in my life and times? It seems like nothing is certain. And what I want to tell you, that I believe the Bible says there are some things that are certain. And I want us to clue in to that this morning. The first thing I want to tell you is that I can be certain God always does what He says, and His Word will never fail. I can be certain of this. God will always do what He says, and His Word will never fail. In the passage in Numbers chapter 23, this king Balak has enlisted the help of a prophet named Balaam to curse Israel so that they would no longer be a threat to Balak's kingdom. Now Balaam discovers that he is unable to curse the nation of Israel because God has blessed them and has chosen them to be the special recipients of His blessing. So no curse is going to work. But Balak forces Balaam to try anyway. And so Balaam finally is able to get a word directly from God concerning cursing Israel. And God tells him, you know, it's not going to work because I've chosen to bless them. And so Balaam then goes and he tries to explain this to Balak. So look with me, Numbers chapter 23. I'll read verse 19. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? One of the things that Balaam says there, that he's come to learn about God, is something you and I need to keep in our minds as well, and that is that God is different from humanity and transcendent beyond our existence. This is good news. See, we sometimes make the mistake of thinking that God is as capricious as we are, that He is as affected by the world in which we live as we are. And the good news is that God is not nervously sitting on the end of His throne, biting His fingernails, going, "Oh no, they've really messed up now." See, He's beyond all of that. He's beyond it. And that is good news. What the text says as a result is that we should know that God does not lie. Now, I mean, no offense. You and I lie. Oh, they're little white lies, I know. It's all for the good, right? God doesn't do that. God doesn't change His mind. I don't persuade God. He persuades me. Then the text says that God is thorough. He follows through. He does what He says. And so when God speaks, there is certainty. When God speaks, there is certainty. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, the prophet is speaking or relating God's word. And it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, do you believe this? Hello? Yeah, God's word is certain. What He promises will come true. It will happen. It is a certainty. I know we live in a world where there is so much uncertainty, but God's word is certain. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is interacting with His disciples, and they're wanting Him to describe to them signs about the end of the world. How will they know when the end of the age has come and all of those sorts of things? And so Jesus is talking through all of that. And then in chapter 24 of Matthew, starting with verse 32. He says, "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." See, listen to the word of the Lord. Like a tender fig tree, branches and new leaves come out, and it signals the arrival of a different season, possibly of spring or summer. And Jesus is saying that all of the events that he describes in Matthew chapter 24 point to the nearness of Christ's return. It's coming, he's saying. And you can know that it's drawing nearer because of the signs of the times. You have to be able to understand what you're seeing. And the point I think Jesus is making is that believers can be certain that Jesus will return because he has promised that he will. And his word is timeless. You know, all that we see and know will pass away and be transformed, but not his word. His word is eternal. It will endure forever. It is true. And so we wait with certainty that Jesus will keep his promise. And he says that along the way there will be signs of his presence and his activity in our world. Do you believe that? That you can see, if you know how to look, you can see that God is present and that he is active in our lives and on a grand scale in this world. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.'" See, I think God is saying that I'm to be certain that what he says is true. I'm to be certain that what God promises in this world will happen, in his word will happen. What he promises is going to come about. My certainty is to endure beyond chaos and confusion. My certainty is to remain steadfast even while waiting and the Lord is silent. The decisive event has already happened in human history. That is the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we wait as God moves us all toward that point in time in which Jesus Christ will return. And human history bears the marks of the hand of God moving us closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I can know with certainty that God is present and active in my life and in my world. God's word says I can know. And then God's word tells me where all of this is going to end up. Jesus Christ is going to return for us, and we will be with him forever. What that means is that this world is not lost in random chaos. We are not suffering as the victims of random, thoughtless, mindless, chaotic events. God is here in power and in all of his glory, accomplishing his purposes. What we need is the proper perspective. So to help you to understand just how difficult and challenging this can be, I want you to think about the difference between linear equations and nonlinear equations. Because I know that you're real familiar with this. All right? So linear equations are a set of solutions that you can graph on a graph, and the solutions form a straight line like this. So if you were to solve those equations and graph the results, you could draw a line through them and it would be straight. And linear equations are nice and neat and everything balances out and we like that. It makes sense, you know? Are you familiar with this? All right. All right, so nonlinear equations, however, have outputs that are not proportional to their inputs. And they cannot be graphed in nice, neat, straight lines. See? It's a nonlinear. This is the solutions to a nonlinear equation. And the results are chaotic. They are random. They are unpredictable. They are ultimately meaningless. We don't like nonlinear equations because they simply do not make sense and they have no meaning to us. That is not a straight line. I don't like that. See. Mathematicians eventually will give up solving this nonlinear equation because of its meaninglessness, its randomness, that it doesn't seem to have any helpful benefit at all. So, there was a mathematician working for IBM in the 1970s. His name was Benoit Mandelbrot. And while he was working for IBM, he took a particular nonlinear equation and he worked it out, and the results he got looked something like this. And he wondered what would happen if he took that same equation and got IBM's computers to solve it over and over again and to graph it out. Would it make any difference? What he discovered was yes. So he had the computer solve this nonlinear equation 1,000 times and graph the results. And this is what he came up with. Isn't that something? 1,000 times. And then he had it do 1,000,000 times. And it became even more intricate. Then he had to do it 1,000,000,000 times. And then as years went by, mathematicians began to work or build on Mandelbrot's work. And they added color to the numerical values and had the computer graph the equation an infinite number of times. And they came up with this beautiful design. See, we can see that the computer gave perspective. Where our view was limited, the computer was not. And now we can see the beautiful, complex design contained in the simple, nonlinear equation. Given time and iteration, the pattern does emerge. And you can pull out at a great distance or zero in on a specific part, and the pattern is still there. Beautiful in its complexity. The pattern was always there in the math. We just couldn't see it. We just didn't have the perspective. Given time and iteration, the pattern emerges. And I wonder, in your life, have you allowed enough time and consistency in your walk with Jesus Christ to give you perspective enough to notice the certainty of His Word? It takes time and it takes consistency. And from our perspective, the events in our lives can seem random and chaotic and meaningless. But in reality, from God's perspective, maybe it looks like this. And we'll never know unless we give time and consistency to walking with the Lord for Him to show us the certainty of His presence, of His Word, of His activity among us. So I'm going to ask you, do you live in the certainty provided by the Word of the Lord? The second thing I want to tell you this morning is that my response to all of this is to put my hope in God's Word. Look with me in Psalm chapter 130. Psalm 130 is one of the Psalms of Ascent, and this is a song the pilgrims making their way to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. And the psalmist, I'm going to start reading in verse 5. He says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His Word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And the psalmist communicates this idea that we have this great expectation as we put our hope in the word of the Lord. Hope is in the Bible, it describes the expectation of the future attainment of a desired object or outcome. It is often associated with God's character, the knowledge, the certainty that God will keep his promises. So the psalmist encourages God's people to put their hope in the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is spoken by one who can be trusted. And the word the psalmist is waiting for may be an act of salvation and fulfillment of a promise that God has made. And in verse 6, he describes how he's going to wait with great anticipation for God's salvation, like watchmen waiting through the night. These watchmen have been on duty, and they're waiting for the dawn to come so they can be released and go home and go to bed. And they wait patiently because they know the dawn is coming. It's certain. The sun rises with great consistency one day after the next. Have you ever found that not to be true? The sun rises. And so they know it's going to happen. And they're waiting. It's going to come. It's coming. It's coming. And the psalmist reminds God's people of what God has promised that is certain to come to them: God's unfailing love and full redemption from sin. God himself will save his people. This is personal. You can trust in his unfailing love and in his redemption from sin. So while my life may feel like painful, random, meaningless chaos, God's presence and his promises means that my life has meaning and purpose. God loves me without fail. And though I sin, he gives me full redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. I respond by waiting and watching for God to keep his promises. This is hope. I wait and I watch for God to keep his promises. I'll tell you the truth, I struggle with both of these, waiting and watching. I don't like to wait. I'll go out of my way not to wait. I get road rage in Walmart behind people. I don't like that. And I have a hard time watching because my attention span is short. Be honest about that too. I get distracted easily. My mind goes all over the place, and it's hard for me to focus over a long period of time, especially when I'm waiting and watching on the Lord. But this is what's required, see. And to do this over time with consistency, year after year after decade, believing that the Lord is going to keep his promise. In his great psalm on the word of the Lord, Psalm 119, David says in verse 74, "May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word." Psalm 119, verse 81, "My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word." Psalm 119, verse 114, "You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." Psalm 119, 147, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." Have you put your hope in God's word? Think of all the promises that God has made to you in his word. Is he going to keep those promises? Can you trust in his unfailing love and his full redemption? Do you trust, do you hope in the word of the Lord? There was a pastor named David Peterson, and when he was preparing his sermon one day, his little daughter came in and asked, "Daddy, can we play?" And he said, "I'm awfully sorry, sweetheart, but I'm right in the middle of preparing the sermon. In about an hour, I can play." And she said, "Okay, when you're finished, I will give you a great big hug." And she went out the door, but then she did a U-turn and came back, and she gave her dad a bone-breaking hug. And he said, "You know, you said you were going to give me a hug after I finished." And she replied, "I just wanted you to know what you have to look forward to." Put your hope in the word of the Lord. Because in his word and through his spirit, he gives you a hug now. And he tells you the best is yet to come. Don't lose hope. God's word is certain. He will do what he has said. He will keep his promises to you, found in his word. We may wait for God to keep his promises, but we wait in hope and certainty. And while we wait, God reveals himself to us to remind us that he is here and he is at work. My life, your life, is not at the mercy of random and chaotic forces. God's presence means our lives have meaning and purpose. So as we close the service, I want to ask you, today, are you certain that God will keep his word to you? And secondly, are you living in a certain hope because of God's word to you? Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we live in a world that makes little sense at times. And there is the appearance of chaos and randomness. And our lives are changed so dramatically in moments in which chaos reigns. Where there is seeming random and meaningless events all around. But Lord, even though we go through those moments, I pray that you would help us to lift our perspective to something higher, greater, eternal, true. That we are not at the mercy of random chaos. That you are our God. And your word is certain. Help me not to despair in the face of the times. Instead, help me to remember your word and to put my hope in your word. Lord, help me to wait for you. Help me to watch for you, believing that as I wait and watch, I will see signs of your presence and activity, reminding me that the best is yet to come. And Lord, across this room this morning are those I know who have been beaten and battered and kicked around by these times and by events in their lives. Have mercy on them this morning. Remind them of your word. Lift their eyes to you. And may your spirit convince them that you're going to keep your promises and that Jesus Christ is returning one day. May our response this morning be one of hope in you, Lord. May your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.